Sunday in July. My goodness. Time goes by so, so quickly. But glad that you're here this morning. Let's open up in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day that you've given us. God, I thank you so much for your goodness. Lord, I thank you for loving us. Father, I pray today, Lord, that as we study your word, Lord, that you would teach us the things that you would have for us. Lord, help us to see, Lord, your plan of the ages. And Lord, as we study this, and God, that we could come away with a deeper appreciation, Lord, of how much that you truly do love us. And God, that we could see your mercy. And Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for this church. Father, I thank you that we have a place where we can come and worship freely. And Father, we love you. Lord, I thank you for saving me. And Lord, I thank you for these folks coming out faithfully. And Lord, we love you. Pray that you bless in Christ's name. Amen. We are in the book of Genesis. And if you'll look in Genesis chapter number 4, we studied about the effects of sin and the fact that sin entered into this world and the tragedy of that. But like anything else, we can see God's hand and God's mercy in all of this, that someday that the Son of God would come to redeem you and I, pay the price for our sin on Calvary's cross. And we saw the foundation of that plan being laid. But we also looked at the tragedy of the consequences of sin, and the first of which, of course, was Cain murdering his very own brother out of anger, out of jealousy, but ultimately pride and sin. Now, I've often wondered, and we talked a little bit about this last week, you know, that one of the things that people just get so hung up on the Word of God is, where did Cain get his wife? Well, he married his sister. Okay, he married a relative. And people can't fathom that today. They don't understand, you know, why in the world would you even do something like that? And I kind of talked a little bit about that. I've always wondered what type of woman would want to marry this guy. I honestly thought about that. You know, who would want to marry this guy? At some point in time, there had to have been some deep-seated rebellion there to even show an interest in this person. The Bible says that Cain was marked. God placed a mark on him. He was a cursed person. And as we look, and starting in verse 16 of chapter number 4, it says, Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. By the way, that is a departure from God. That's a departure from God's ways. That doesn't just mean, you know, hey, Cain went this way. When it says he went out from the presence of the Lord, that was a willful decision. You know, when you stop and think about the fact that God showed mercy on this man, you would think that would draw him closer to God. But in fact, what we find is just the opposite happened. We find that his descendants were folks that were skillful in all kinds of things, ironwork, and you know, it goes on. And look in verse 20, it says, "And Adah bare Jabal, and he was the father of such as dwell in tents and of such as have cattle." Verse 21, "And his brother, and his name was Jubal, and he was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron." Okay, and so the idea is that civilization is starting to expand. And we find that Cain's descendants are skillful in some various things. What are they capable of doing? Well, they're good at livestock. They're good at farming. They're good at warfare. They're good at music. And so, you know, one of the things that they excelled in was that kind of stuff. And to be honest with you, most folks of the world are wise. I mean, they just are. I, of course, like many of you here, I work around lost people. And to be honest with you, they're very shrewd. They're very sharp. They know how to manipulate things, and it seems like that they always seem to prosper. You ever notice that? Maybe you sit there and you go, you know, I do what's right. I play by the rules. I don't cheat the government on my tax returns. You know, I do all this. And I see people doing wicked stuff and they prosper. And David noticed the very same thing in the book of Psalms. But what did he find? He said, and then I considered their end. And when you consider their end, you and I are far better off. Praise be to God for that. Were it not for the grace of God, there go you and I. And so as we look in this, we find that we find that Cain's progeny, and we see a lot of wickedness, don't we? But then, praise God, we get to the end of chapter number 4 and verse 25. It says, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. And then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Man, I'm so thankful for that. So we see the godly line of Seth. We see folks that seek God's word and seek God's way. But in a lost and dying world, those numbers are always few and far between. Can I just say this? Don't get discouraged by that. And we live in a lost and dying and wicked world. And it's always been that way since sin came into the world. And we're going to look at that. One of the things that I want to bring up is this. I talked about one of the things that folks worry about and they get so hung up on is, where's Cain's wife? Where'd that come from? Okay, here's the second thing. The second thing that people really get hung up on the book of Genesis, are the ages of folks. You know? And for some reason, people just have an inability to take God at his word. Look at this. Let me show you. Look in verse 5. It says, chapter number 5, verse 1, excuse me. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam in the day that when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years, and begat a son in his own likeness and after his image, and called his name Seth. So Adam was 130 years old when Seth was born. And people look at that and they go, huh? No way! That's not possible. Maybe the dates are wrong. I mean, maybe they counted like months instead of years. No, what does it say? It says 130 years. Take God at his word. Okay? Look what else it says. It goes on. It says, in the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. Verse 5, and all the days that Adam lived were 930 years and he died. Now, according to that verse, Adam lived 930 years. People look at that and they scoff at it. They say, that's not possible. Why, nobody lived 930 years. Nobody ever lived that long. I mean, stop and think about it. I'm 44. I don't want to live to 930. I just don't. You see folks, they live to 70 and 80 and 90 and 100. And sometimes you see them on like the morning news shows, you know. This person lived 105 years old. And yes, is that old? Sure it is. But in our mind, we look and we look at these verses and we go, there's no way. Look in verse 6. And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. And Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years, begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years and he died. Adam, 930. Seth, 912. Is that possible? Is it true? And if it is, how so? Well, I told you guys I'm all about show and tell, so here it is. Some of you probably saw me doing this. I made mention of the fact, and I told you all a little while ago, I don't know, maybe the first week that we started on the book of Genesis, how that God created a firmament. I know, very simple model. And right here, this white balloon is the firmament. It was a water vapor canopy created by God. It surrounded the earth. Kind of neat, isn't it? So what were the effects of that? Well, it had a couple of effects. One of the things that it did is that it maintained a tropical climate for the earth. Earth was a lot warmer. And, by the way, dinosaurs lived on the earth when man was here. Now, I know that most folks that don't believe that God created this world scoff at that notion. Say, that's not possible. Man and dinosaurs did not exist. God created dinosaurs. He did. By the way, there are dinosaur fossils. Okay? You know, dinosaurs aren't like some made-up thing. They existed, and they're real. Okay? But there wasn't like millions and millions of years that separated man and dinosaurs. They existed together. I'm glad they ain't around anymore. I mean, could you imagine like driving to church today and some big, huge brontosaurus like walks in front of your car? That wouldn't be fun. Something tells me that we would have eliminated them, or I don't know, maybe PETA would have taken up the cause, and, you know, I don't know. But anyway, fact of the matter is, where do they find dinosaur fossils at? They find them all over the earth. They find them up north, like in the Arctic. Now, if a dinosaur is cold-blooded, that means that they wouldn't exist in a climate that was cold, which that means that you wouldn't find them up north, but we do. So because we find them up north, what does that tell you? The earth was warmer back then than what it is now. Okay? If you don't believe me, go up to the Arctic and you will freeze to death. Bottom line is that this water vapor canopy kept the earth at a temperate climate. The other thing that it did was this. There is, in outer space, radiation that's put off by our sun. It's called solar radiation. Solar radiation comes down to this planet. It's how people get tans, okay? That's the effect of solar radiation. That does that. The other thing that it does is that it allows for things to happen to our body that's not good. Say, like what? It allows cancer to happen. Radiation. Radiation's not good, guys. Okay? Can we all agree on that? Radiation's not good. I hope I'm not going too deep for you, but here's the point. This water vapor canopy protected those folks. That's the reason why they live longer lives. Just as plain and simple as that. You know, believe it or not, there's actually scientific explanation for this stuff. And people look at this stuff and they go, the Bible's not true. No, the Bible is true. And I'm going to be honest with you, even without me explaining this to you, praise God, I just take the Word of God at faith value. People live longer back then. So why did they start living shorter lives? Because when the flood happened, this water vapor canopy went away. That's why. And when it was gone, the earth was a lot more vulnerable to solar radiation. The temperature of the globe dropped significantly after the flood. You now got a north and south pole that it's a little bit colder. Very simple explanation. And it's not that big of a deal. The fact of the matter is that God's word is true. So if you look at these verses and you notice, one of the things that you'll find is that folks began to live shorter lives. The effects of sin started kicking in. But after the flood, most folksies didn't make it past 130 years of age. They just didn't. Okay? That's a normal thing. That's the consequence of sin. That's the consequence of that canopy being gone. Okay? And so what you see here is you look in verse 27, it says, "And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died." 969 years. That's a long time to live. You know, and I don't know what he looked like when he died. Maybe he looked, you know, like anybody that would be in their 90s today. I don't know. All I know is that this is what the Word of God says. So, well, maybe the years were shorter. Maybe the way they counted years was totally different. I don't believe that. He lived 969 years, bottom line. And so, look down at this next verse. It says, "And Lamech lived 182 years, and he begat a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, This same shall comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." Now, that's an interesting statement. There was something special about Noah. There really was. And we're going to get into this, obviously, but Noah was a special person. And it talks about this, and it says in verse 30, "And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died." It's interesting, 777. People that are into numbers and stuff like that, of course, many folks say, well, the number seven is God's number. It's a perfect number. I don't know, just something interesting there. Now look what it says. It says, "And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth." Then we begin to see the consequences of sin. And so in chapter number 6, verse number 1, it says, "And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives, all of which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. So God basically set a time. God said, in 120 years, something's going to happen. According to these passages, many folks, they kind of get hung up on this stuff. So what's going on here? Well, it's basically just saying that people are multiplying across the face of the earth. A lot of people have gone and they've taken these verses and they've said that angels and these demons were coming down and they were producing children. No, it's just what it says. It's just what it says. The world was multiplying. At this point in time, it's believed that there were approximately 1 billion people covering the face of the earth in this region. Okay? By the way, that's a lot of people. 1 billion people is a lot. What do we have now? Almost 8, I believe. Close to that, 7-8 billion people in the world. That's a lot of people. It really is. It's countless souls, countless lives. I often wondered, you know, how many people have existed since the Lord created this world? What's that number been? What's that number been? 20 billion people? I don't even think we're even scratching the surface. How many people have existed since God created this world? That's a lot. But look what this says here. It says, verse 4, "And there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown." What does that mean? This means that you had these mighty men. You had men that fought. men that loved to kill, men that had just this bloodlust of fighting and destruction. Wicked, sinful people. Look what it says. Verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Bible says that God saw what was in the hearts of men. And what was in the heart? It shouldn't be a surprise, because it's no different back then than what it is now. It's sin. Man is born with a sin nature, and because man has a sin nature, what does man think about? Sin and more sin. You know, sin has always been around. Since the day that Adam and Eve chose to sin against God, every man that's ever been born, every woman that's ever been born, is born a sinner. And so it shouldn't be any surprise. Jeremiah tells us that the heart of man is desperately wicked. Desperately. Our hearts are black with sin. They're darkened. Sin drives everything. You spend any time around anybody, and you know yourself, knowing yourself, you know that we're sinners. The Bible says we can't even fathom how wicked our hearts are. God looked down on the earth, and what did he see? He saw a world corrupted by sin. And look what this says. It says, and that the imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And so you had these people living long lives, sin in their heart, a violent society, not a safe place. I would say to you today, it's not a safe world, is it? You know, I know folks like to look back on the 50s and 60s with a certain bit of nostalgia and say, you know what, this was a wonderful time to grow up. You know what, there's always been sin. We've just come up with different ways now. It's the truth. You realize that there are apps on your phone that people can use and find somebody for a casual encounter. There's apps like that. Say, really? Yes. When you have websites that are devoted to encouraging men to cheat on their spouse, or encouraging women to cheat on their spouse, has there always been adultery? Yes, there has. But with technology, it's just easier. It's still adultery. It's still sin. Okay? Man has always been separated from God because of the results of sin. And so we find here in verse 6, one of the most tragic verses in the Word of God. It says, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. You know, I will never understand the depths of that grief that God experienced. I think the only closest thing that you can ever go to is you think about the moments when you've had a child and that child has deeply disappointed you. That doesn't even scratch the surface of what God was experiencing. And the Bible says that it grieved God at his heart. When it says that it repented him, that means that it made God consider, why did I do what I'd done? I mean, stop and think about the depths of that. God loves you and I. He always has, he always will. But God is still a God of judgment. God is merciful. God is long-suffering. But God is still a God of judgment. Sin must be judged. It always has been and always will be. And why is that? Because God is righteous and God is perfect. If God didn't judge sin, he would not be right. He would not be a perfect judge. And we could look at him and we could say, you know what? You were incorrect in that judgment. But that's not the case. God is righteous and God is just. And look what it says, verse 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. I want you to notice something. Did any of those animals sin? Did those creeping things sin? Did the fish sin? Did the birds sin? Did any of the plants sin? No. Who sinned? Man did. There's a lesson in that. Sin always affects other things and other people. Every time. Every single time. And God said, I'm going to destroy the earth because of the effects of sin. And so we find that God is going to judge. But what does God always do when there is judgment? Because God is also a God of love and God is also a God of mercy. God provides mercy. Look at this. It says here in verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In the midst of a world given over to wickedness and given over to sin, Noah sought the face of God. Noah had a desire to draw close to God. Noah had a desire. Noah had a love for God. How did that happen? Well, we find out from the Word of God, that godly line of Seth, men that serve God faithfully, even back then, in a world that was given over to wickedness and sin and violence, there were men that clung to God. There were men that loved God. There were those that clung to the promise that God promised Adam and Eve that someday the sin would be crushed. That someday Satan would be defeated. That someday God himself would come and pay the ultimate sacrifice for sin. And that God was going to set a nation in which his son would be born. There were men that faithfully clung to that. And Noah was one of those men. Look in verse 9. It says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. That was Noah's testimony. Can I tell you something? That's what every child of God should have seemed to hear. Just, perfect, walking with God. We read about somebody else, one of Noah's ancestors that walked with God. His name was Enoch. The Bible says, and Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. That's an interesting thing. Can you imagine what that was like? He's just not there. Where'd he go? What happened to him? I'm sure there might have been people looking for him, trying to figure out what happened to him. But the testimony in the record of Enoch was that God took him. A lot of people think of that as being a precursor to like the rapture. I mean, just someday, you know, one day he's there and then the next day he's gone. He's not here on earth. Why? He's with God. And so Noah had that same type of faith. The Bible says that Noah walked with God. That's an amazing testimony. He loved God. He saw violence and misery and sin all around him, and Noah walked with God. Noah stood on God's principles, and Noah stood for God. Which is really an amazing thing, because let's stop and think about it. For you and I, what do we have? Well, we have this book, don't we? I put my faith and trust in God, and what has God done? God has spoke to me through the years, but as I read and study this book, loved ones, listen to me. Noah didn't have this. He didn't have it. He didn't have a Bible to pick up and turn. He didn't have the Psalms. He didn't have any of that. The wisdom of Solomon that God gave him, he didn't have that to turn to. The Bible just tells us that he walked with God. And the Bible says, I mean, that is such a commendation. He found grace in the eyes of God. And God looked at Noah, and God saw his heart. And God said, that's a person that I'm going to use to fulfill my purpose here on this earth. We find here, and look what it says, to verse 10, and Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and I'll cover that after we deal with the flood. Verse 11, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. God looked upon the earth, behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. I want you to notice that this world was filled with violence. Can I tell you something? God hates violence. He does. God hates it. We have violence in this world. People getting shot, people dying, women going to abortion clinics and have their child killed. There's no value in human life. There's none. None at all. This whole world is dark and it's filled with violence even to this day. The Bible says that God saw that it was corrupt. So what does corrupt mean? It was foul. It was disgusting. It was sin. It broke God's heart. As I said, you and I, we have only existed on this side of the fall, and we have no conception of what life was like before sin. We just don't. But I can tell you this. It must have been heartbreaking to see that transition. The Bible tells us, and look what it says in verse 13, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. God actually came to Noah and said, this is going to happen. I'm going to destroy everything. But here's what I want you to do. Bible says, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. Monstrous boat. Had a capacity of over 500 railroad boxcars. It's huge. And I want to remind you once again, this is God's word. This isn't a fairy tale, okay? I think so many times we like to cartoonize this thing. It was a big floating box. But it was God's way of refuge. It was God's way of mercy. And as Noah began to build this thing, no doubt, you probably heard, he was laughed at, he was mocked, he was scoffed. He had people that thought that it was a big joke. I believe that happened. I believe that there were people that made fun of him, thought he was a fool, because according to the Word of God, one of the things that we find is that there went up a mist from the ground. It didn't rain. Okay? There was no such thing as rain. Water vapor canopy. Things stayed cool. Things stayed temperate. Things stayed moisturized. Okay? And so we find here in verse 16, God says to make a window, and then he says, the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower second and third story shalt thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. Folks, can I tell you something? When God says that something's going to occur, it's going to occur. When God says the soul that sinneth, it shall die, God means that. You know, those of my generation, I guess, we've gotten used to a thing in school that they call a curve with grades. A curve. You know, I don't like curves. Why is that? Because I was always the guy that was the curve buster. People don't like the curve buster. So what does that mean? Well, let's pretend that you got a test of 100 questions, and I'm the guy that gets 75 right, and I'm the A establisher, and everybody else gets 25 right. They don't like you. I mean, in my eyes, I didn't do too good. 75 out of 100 is 75%. That's not a good thing. What do you shoot for? You shoot for 100, right? Okay? Can I tell you something? God doesn't grade on a curve. When God says something's going to happen, it's going to happen. And God has pronounced judgment on this world because of sin. And God is going to judge sin. God has told Noah exactly what he needs to do. He is to build an ark that will shelter and house Noah and his entire family. And God is going to place them in this ark along with the animals. And what's the purpose of this? It's mercy. That's the purpose. Can I tell you something? There was a lot of unused space on the ark. But nobody believed. Nobody was willing to trust. And everybody wanted to laugh, and they wanted to mock, and they wanted to scoff at it. But look what this says. Verse 18, "But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing, of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind. Two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be food for thee and for them." And here's the key, verse 22. "Thus did Noah according to all that the Lord commanded him, so did he." That's what set Noah apart. God said to do it, he did it. God said, do this. You know, among God's people today, what we find is this attitude of, I don't want to do what God says. My wife and I were quite humorous. Crystal was telling me that she saw that somebody had put on Facebook, "I want a church. And I'm looking for a church where I can go and just be me. And I don't want to be bullied from the pulpit." That's the words that they used. "I don't want to be bullied from the pulpit." I'm sorry, but you don't want a church. You want a social club. Because to be honest with you, it's "thus saith the Lord." If your attitude is, "I want to go to church and I just want to kind of hang out and just be me," God's not into that. The Word of God tells us that we are called to be conformed to the image of Christ. And part of that growth is, there are things in my life and there's things in your life that God's going to say, "I'm not pleased with that," and we're going to get rid of that. And if you choose to stubbornly hold on to it, you're going to do so at your own peril. What does that mean? That means that God's going to whip you and I to get us to be the person that God wants you and I to be. And the man of God that stands up and proclaims, "Thus saith the Lord," it's not bullying, it's sharing with you the Word of God and the heart of God. "Thus saith the Lord." And Noah was that type of person. God said, "Do this," and guess what? I'm going to do it. That's what set him apart. Unlike Cain, who fled from the presence of God, who wanted nothing to do with God and with God's ways, Noah did according to what God said. That's what set him apart. And so we get to this point here. We look and it says in chapter number 7, verse number 1, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." God begins to give him instructions on what he is to do. God tells him, and look what it says, verse 2, "Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female." See, a lot of times, if you don't study the Word of God, you look at these images and you look at these pictures and you think, Noah brought them in two by two. No, that's not what happened. Seven by seven of every clean beast, two by two of every unclean beast. The Bible says that God brought them to the ark. It must have been an amazing sight when you think about it. I mean, man, stop and think. So what did the animals look like? Were they different? They might have been a little different. So what happened to them? Well, as time went on, they changed. Their appearance changed. Things, and animals became more diverse. Say, is that possible? Absolutely, it's possible. But the simple fact of the matter is that must have been a sight to see. I mean, just the sheer enormity of the ark in and of itself, just to see that, and then all of a sudden, all of these animals just come parading in. Maybe folks watch that. I mean, that in and of itself, for me, that would have been convincing enough that something's about ready to happen. Exactly. But no doubt people looked at that and wondered what was going on. So those animals piled into that ark. A lost and dying world sat and shook their head and mocked and chuckled under their breath, just like they do today as they see you get in your car on Sunday morning. And by the way, they do watch and they know. You go to church. Shake their head. Stupid. Believe in that garbage. Believe in that nonsense. But folks, judgment came that day. And it was too late. A lost and dying world may scoff and they may mock, but that doesn't change the gospel message. That doesn't change the truth of it. And quite frankly, that doesn't change the fact that you and I are to share that gospel message to a lost and dying world. Noah, for 120 years, he and his sons labored on that ark. I don't know if there were men that helped. I doubt it. But could they have? Sure. Possibly. The fact of the matter is that Noah stood firm in the midst of mockery, in the midst of scoffing. And though, by the way, I know they made a movie a little bit ago called Noah. That stuff's not true. Okay? Let God be true and every man a liar. Rock creatures didn't build the ark. Okay? Don't believe that nonsense. That's not in the Word of God. The Bible says that Noah and his sons built that ark. The animals came in. And so it says, It says here in this verse, verse 3, "Of fowls of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of the earth for yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I made I will destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth." So that happened. But the thing that set Noah apart was the fact that Noah did everything that God told him to do. The Bible simply says that God destroyed this water vapor canopy. That's exactly what happened. Everything that was up there came down on the earth. It took 40 days for that to happen. Fountains of the deep were broken up, the Word of God tells us, but it was all destroyed. That's God's judgment. Can I tell you something? God is just and God is righteous, but God also provides mercy. If you're here today and you've never put your faith and trust in Christ, God is still a God of mercy. He will judge you for your sin, but He doesn't have to. Doesn't have to. Because His Son loved you so much that He went to a cross and paid the price for your sin. So that you don't have to stand guilty and be judged for your sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If you're here today and you've never put your faith and trust in Him, God's mercy is open. Don't be like those folks that as the rainwaters fell, they beat on the door of that ark. It was too late. Doesn't have to be that way for you. You don't have to die and go to hell. You can put your faith and trust in the Son of God, turn from your sin, and believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin. You can see that God is a God of mercy. I'd like to ask Brother Haddock.